The head of the Kimberley Land Council has threatened to kill Broome's tourism industry to protest the closure of remote Aboriginal communities in Western Australia. Anthony Watson is sceptical of the Western Australian Premier's promise to increase the amount of consultation with the Aboriginal people who live in those communities. Kenji Sato reports.
Aboriginal communities in Western Australia became concerned when, in November last year, Western Australian Premier Colin Barnett said that up to 150 remote Aboriginal communities could have their funding cancelled. Aboriginal leaders have complained that this decision was made without their consultation, which is why Western Australian Indigenous Minister Peter Collier said that there will be more consultation with the Aboriginal people who live in those communities in future. Michael Hayden is the chairman of the Western Australian Advisory Council, an advisor to Mr. Collier.
My view on this is those consultations should have happened a long time ago and should have been involved in not only the discussion around remote communities and the viability due to the MUNS funds being withdrawn by the Commonwealth, but also in any structural reforms. Aboriginal people should and must be involved at the very beginning, not as an afterthought when the horse is already bolted, which seems to be the case in where things are at with the remote communities.
Mr. Hayden says that the government has not been transparent enough with its plans, meaning that previous consultations with Aboriginal communities have not been effective.
When that's all over the shot, it's not clear, it's misunderstood, and you don't even have something and you're going off the cuff, they're the responses that you will get from anybody regarding any issue in any Aboriginal business. You cannot go to and have consultations without understanding what it is you're going to consult about. You have to have more than a scattergun approach. You have to have more to keep Aboriginal people informed, otherwise they will take you to task. And as Aboriginal communities, we have been down this road many times before, so do not come as a government to provide some consultation meeting without providing all the information.
The head of the Kimberley Land Council, Anthony Watson, says that Mr. Collier's promises of greater consultation are all PR and no substance. He says that the advice given to the government by Aboriginal leaders and Aboriginal advisory boards are routinely ignored and that there's no actual engagement going on.
Yeah, just looking at past history with the advisory board, it gets us nowhere. So we need to put real teeth into the project and bypass the advisory committee. So I just feel that it's just red tape when you go advisory. So the government need to do better into addressing this issue and the way that they're going to engage with their members of this region.
Yeah, it's so typical to be able to tick a box and say, yep, we've consulted, we've gone into the community, we've consulted with the appropriate people, when in fact it's just a, you know, ticking the box exercise and they're not actually being listened to. And that's not true consultation, is it? It's really just a superficial exercise. And that's what I'm talking about with the idea of Indigenous communities being able to have the power to have a voice in the planning and the operating of any tourism activities.
That's Dr. Rochelle Spencer, anthropologist at Murdoch University. She says that remote Aboriginal communities could turn to tourism in order to sustain themselves economically while also preserving their cultural heritage.
Tourism is something that really closely has to be managed well. And when people are putting their culture on display and sharing their cultural knowledge and practices and traditions, that's really, really sensitive stuff, and it needs to be respected. And to be able to do that, you have to involve Indigenous people in all of the decision-making processes.
Dr. Rochelle Spencer ending that report by Kenji Sato.